I have to say, this Christmas has been different than any I have ever experienced. Early on in the years that I have spent here, I always tried to gather as much emotional equity as I could going into the Christmas season. It was hard to do back in those days because we used to have a big business meeting in December, and somehow that always seemed to mess it up before we got done. But I wanted that. Of course, my children were young, and so we shared the excitement and the enthusiasm that goes along with the season with them. As the years went by, we started doing the Christmas Eve services. We've calculated, I think, that this was year number 25 that we've done Christmas Eve services. And that's really cool, and that's something that's exciting to think about, the number of people that have been a part of the worship here and the experience. As time has continued, I found myself more stable during the season of the year. Occasionally a little bit forlorn and kind of feeling, I don't know, out of sorts, but for the most part, not the magical fantasies that I had craved and longed for earlier, and not the morbid reality that some people seem to focus their lives on, but something in between that just kind of left me sometimes happy and sometimes sad, but always a little bit on the brink. So came into this season of the year, it felt weird. Can't even describe it. This doesn't feel like Christmas Day. Yesterday didn't feel like Christmas Eve. Even as I sat around the living room with packages piled almost to the ceiling, it seemed, certainly taller than any of the children that were about to open them, and the amount of paper and refuse that five grandchildren can produce. And let me tell you something, when they wad all those wrapping papers together and they throw them in, don't just go gather them, because somewhere in the middle of all that, there's a dirty diaper. You don't want to hold that close, I'm telling you. We don't have a separate container for such things, so it just kind of all goes together. So just be careful what you're picking up. But as we were doing all of that, it still, somehow, it just felt a little distant. I realized about halfway through the experience that a little piece of me had died about 6 weeks ago, and when my mom passed away. My mom loved Christmas, and she loved fantasy. She and Dad not so much as Mom, but she made him do it. Maintained the aura and the fantasy of Santa Claus way beyond the time any of us would have believed it. And it was really a good thing, and we loved it, and I loved them for it. But a little piece of that was gone, and that was the part of me, I guess, that triggered some of the things that I feel. And I know a lot of you share that. And you feel some of that as well. And I know that there are people among us that maybe are dealing with other harsh realities, that while they may not be happening right now or may not have occurred just, you know, days ago, the reality is still draining away something of the energy. If the only way that we can celebrate a season like this is to feel good, or if the only way that we can celebrate the birth of Jesus is to have all of the other things that we have added to it as a traditional response to this season to work out in a manner that we approve of, then you're in for a legacy of few happy Christmases. But last night, as I was here for the first presentation at 4 o'clock, and I was listening to the music, and I was listening to the message that Mary Ann shared throughout the course of that, I realized that there was something in me that felt right. And it occurred to me that while we as people come and go, and the ages march on without any pause, there is one defining element that brings everything into sharp relief, and gives clarity and focus and meaning and value and significance and hope, and because of hope, peace, and that is, of course, Jesus. We had talked already as the pastors and I planned everything for this service today, but this verse took on new meaning. You can just listen. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The fullness of time. All of the moments of our lives are measured and marked by circumstance or by events or by achievement or by loss or by joy or by pain or something in the middle, but all of those moments are marked. We have them well entrenched in our minds. They become a part of our legacy and heritage. They are things that we reflect on, or they are things that we look forward to with hope and expectation. But what we find here is that there is a moment of time that is marked in a way that is indelible. It is a mark that cannot be forgotten or ignored. And it is described for us as the fullness of time. A time in the moments of all of the other time that has passed, and a time in the eternal equation that would stand apart from all of those yet to come. A time that is described by the apostle as God's time of fullness. The word fullness is there for us to understand something of the unique quality of this moment, of this time, that is distinctive from every other moment. And the only way I can think of it, and the only way I can think to describe it for you, is the fullness of time was the perfect time. It was the perfect time. And in the perfect moment, something even more astounding occurred. Have you ever tried to have the perfect moment? We do it at holidays. You know, the meal has to be just so. The food has to be just so. There has to be certain people gathered around the table. And they need to have the right attitude. And if they don't, they need to pretend. You know what I'm saying? You're here for 2 hours. Suck it up and deal, because you know you're not messing up my thing. I was watching one of the Food Network shows, and not only were they talking about this elaborate meal, but then there was a whole section of it that was designed around place settings and decorations. I thought, I shouldn't be watching this because I don't even have any way to relate to it, you know? I mean, we just don't do that. It's like, do you get the holiday paper plates? Well, I mean, if you do, you know you're going to have leftovers and you're going to be using them in March. So, you know, are you okay with that? Or you just get the plain white ones and just figure that'll do for all year? I know. It's kind of... My wife wants me to be better and to be more, but I'm just not. And you know, so pity her and tolerate me. But we want that exact moment. Think about it in terms of proposals, marriage proposals. You know, we go through such elaborate means to try to come up with a perfect moment. And there's always something. You know, it is perfect, but somehow it seems like in the moment that it never produces the sort of fulfillment or emotional release that we had in our heads. We imagined it bigger. We imagine it more. We imagine it as something that it isn't quite. And it's because you and I don't have the ability to create a moment that is going to be described in the way that we see this one as the fullness of time. We can get close, we can do our best, we can make it very special. But this is unique. This is a moment not just when everything aligned. This was a moment that had been designated in history from its beginning. This was a moment that existed before all of the other moments came into existence. This was a moment that resided in the heart and soul and mind of the Creator of the universe, and one to which He moved all of history, and one to which all of history always comes back to. The fullness of time. I think about that, and I don't have the mental capacity or even the theological understanding that can allow me to expand beyond the limits of my finiteness in order to try to appreciate that. And yet I can look at it and, like those shepherds, be afraid and be in awe. I can, like those shepherds, say, man, I got to see this. Let's go to Bethlehem. If Christmas doesn't do anything for you other than strengthen your ability to endure experiences that you don't particularly like with people you really don't want to be around, then come on. There's got to be something better for you. Surely your life is not destined to be limited to the curmudgeons of our world. We don't need any more sour Christians. We got enough. In fact, the cutoff for signing up for that list ended, you know, a long time ago. Don't let the things of this earth and the things that are within yourself and the things that are around us be so dominant or predominant in you that when you come to this season of the year, you cannot see the value, significance, and eternal quality contained in that special moment when Jesus was born. When the fullness of time had come, a supernatural intervention occurred so that the scripture says God sent forth His Son, born of woman under the law. There's so much that could be said about the divine intentionality of God and the eternal deity that was contained in Christ. We sang Emmanuel, God with us. We speak of the incarnation, God in the flesh. In that fullness of time, what was it God did? He reached out to us in order to extend to us that which would allow us to connect with Him. So that when those shepherds arrived, they didn't see something that was glowing like some sort of ethereal halo. They saw a child in the humble surroundings of a manger scene that was like any other child. But this child was the Son of God. I watch as people connect with children. And everybody knows I'm not the best little kid guy. You know, I love that my sons are terrific little kid dads. I love that. I grieve that I wasn't better. And I love that they are better. And I watch them all the time. Even when nobody else is aware that I'm paying attention. But I watch these little kids, and you know, I've got now almost a 5-year-old and a couple of 3-year-olds and a 16-month-old. But the one that grabs the attention, it's the baby. You can pick up the baby and walk around with her, and all she has to do is smile, or she can do anything else she wants. She can poop in her pants and make noise doing it, and everybody thinks it's awesome. She can cry. She can get stuff all over her when she eats. She can throw up. And nobody cares. They still want to hold her. Do you think that it was random or happenstance that when God wanted to send his son into the world to connect with this world so that this world, lost and distant from him, would instantly be drawn into the circle of saving work that he was going to do? Do you think that it was random that he sent Jesus as a baby? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. God with us, Christ coming in the flesh, was a divine intentionality of God that was going to reveal for us an eternal deity that we were previously cut off from by our own sin. He was born under woman and under the law in order to overcome that which was a continual source of pain for us. That is our original sin handed down from generation to generation. And our awareness of that sin as we stand in comparison to the holy law of a living, just, righteous God. But in the middle of all of that, a baby. So that we might become children. To redeem those who were under the law. So that we might receive adoption as sons. And because we're sons, the Spirit of God. I was looking at Facebook, and I do it a little more during this time of the year, I think, than I do at other times of the year. And I saw the 3-year-old post of the Hewitts. Bringing Aloysia home. 3 years ago at Christmas. And I thought to myself, has it been 3 years? Where does the time go? I was looking at the post that Lee and Casey had put on their Facebook page of when they brought their 3 children home from Nicaragua. It was at Christmas time. I was thinking about these kids that have become a part of this church family as a result of the process of adoption and how they represent all of us so vividly and clearly. For all of us were at one time not a part of the family we belong to at this time. And the reason that we have been brought into this family is because of Jesus. So that we are adopted into the family of God, and now we are no longer strangers. We are children. We are sons. We are daughters. In order to affirm that, he has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts, the scripture says, so that we might know and have confirmed in us this reality that we belong to him. It isn't just that redemption has taken place, but it is also adoption. And the indwelling presence of the Spirit now brings an intimacy so that he says, by him we cry, Abba, Father. Intimacy. Don't let everything that happens in this world, whether it is the commercialism of a sacred holiday or whether it is the influence of a culture that is becoming increasingly hostile to truth and to faith. Don't let that steal from you the intimacy that is Christianity. Intimacy is about our connection with God. It is about the familiarity. It is about the trust. Intimacy is at its heart and soul, at the very core of what we know, it is trust. So that when we have an intimate relationship with another person, the reason that we do and the reason that we would describe it as an intimate relationship is because we trust that person enough to risk them seeing who we really are. So he says, by the Spirit of God, we have been brought into this family, and we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out of the intimate name of God that is appropriate only to his child. But it also reminds us that it's not just intimacy, it's identity. So that we not only cry out to him, but he affirms in us that we have been made children of the Most High. What does Jesus mean to us? So many years later, the Apostle Paul wrote it like this when he said he redeems us so that we are sons. He has sent his Spirit so that we cry out, Abba, Father, so that we are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. An heir. So not only do we have intimacy with the Father, we have identity as members of his household. I love the identity that connects us to families. Some of you even dressed alike. So you're sitting with each other and you're all dressed alike. Some of you have these parties where you all have the same ugly sweater you wear. And you gather and you just think that's wonderful. And you all look ridiculous with one another. And you just laugh and you carry on. How much eggnog does it take to make that okay? I don't know. But it has to be a lot. I think it's awesome. It's just awesome. These traditions, they give us identity and familiarity with one another, and they connect us. We all like them because we're all part of the same family. You know, and it's funny, sometimes when you have, once you marry into a different family, you know, then they have their own stuff, and you have to embrace that and try to introduce your own, or you have to take them and go back to your family, you know, when you do those events, and you can reflect and remember it. We have all those things too. But all of them speak of identity, and that identity is important. It's important. Last night, we were downstairs. The choir was taking a little break between the presentations at 4 and 5:30, and Justin and Jennifer and Sela and Major came in, and there's some folks singing in the choir that didn't really know them and are fairly new to our church family, and they walked through, and we were talking to the kids and so forth, and they went on, they were visited with some of the people from here that they hadn't seen for a while, and one of the ladies says to me, I take it that's your son, and I said, yeah. She said, boy, y'all look a lot alike. And I said, you know, when he was little, we used to take him places and leave him, and then we'd go off just to see if they'd bring him back to me. They always did. They just look around, oh, yeah, he goes with that one, you know? I mean, there was no denying this kid. Now, Bradley, he wouldn't let us leave him. I mean, he just, and if you did, he'd just scream to the top of his lungs. And then people are just begging, somebody, please take this kid. And so, you know, but there was an identity there, a connection. What is it that marks your identity in Christ? It is that your sins are forgiven. It is that your righteousness has been declared by the Father. It is that your place in heaven has been reserved for you. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of that has been done as a gift so that when you celebrate Christmas and you remember and reflect on all that Jesus has done for us, and you also recall that it was looked forward to until the moment when time was full. And Christ came, and when he did, he came to redeem you and me and to make us his children. Knowing that gives us intimacy by the indwelling Spirit, but also identity that can never, ever be taken away. And now all of the other moments and experiences, good and bad, and everything in between, take on a completely different perspective and have an entirely different meaning. Because they are no longer the focus. It takes nothing away from them to shift your primary focus away from your loss, away from the person that you've lost, away from your pain, whatever its source may be, away from your success and whoever else has contributed to it, and away from your traditions and all of the other things that are about. It takes nothing away from any of those things when you shift your fullest attention away from them to Jesus. Because what you'll discover is that when He is preeminent, everything else is right. So why is this different this season? Well, it's different obviously because my mom's not here. And this is the first one. That's no great surprise. But you know what? I know where she is. And I know I will see her again. And I know that in the meantime, the hope and confidence and trust that enables us to enjoy and to accomplish and to do and to be faithful and to fail and to try again, that all of those things, they do not come from me or from you. They come from Christ, who came to us at just the right moment. Do you know Jesus? You really, really ought to. Otherwise, you have just barged in on a birthday party that you weren't invited to. But you know what? We can fix that. And I'd be happy to help you. God bless you. Merry Christmas.